got your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16. If you found your place, I'd invite you to stand for the reading and for the reverence of God's holy word. Luke, chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." I'm going to ask Brother Dwayne if he would to lead us to the Lord. The Bible says here in the Word of God in Luke chapter number 19, beginning in Luke chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 19. As we look at the story here in God's Word, a couple of things that is very disturbing here. One, a great story, but yet a sad story, amen? We see here that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This word sumptuously means luxuriously. The rich man lived a luxurious life, amen? But I just want to say this. I just felt compelled as God was burning my heart for the service this morning. Not every rich person in this world is going to go to heaven. Amen? But yet, not every rich person in this world is going to go to hell. Amen? There's a lot of people in this world that are well off, that live in luxury and do good for the Lord. Amen? But we see here also in the story that there was a beggar named Lazarus. And he just begged at the rich man's table. He just wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Amen. And I want to say this. Not every poor person in this world is going to go to heaven. And not every poor person in this world is going to go to hell. Amen. And I just want to say this. Excuse me. It's not how you live in your lifetime that determines whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. Amen. I want you to listen very close to me. But it is what you do in your lifetime that determines whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. Amen. And that determining what and who you accept. Amen. We see here in the Word of God. In verse number 20, the Bible says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus." Beggar is one that someone lacking of anything. Amen. I don't know if there was a situation in his life that left him disabled, that he couldn't farm or couldn't work, that left him at the rich man's table begging for bread. Amen. The Bible doesn't say here. But it does say that he was laid at his gates, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. In verse number 20, the Bible says this, and it came to pass that the beggar died. It came to pass that the beggar died. And I just have to say this morning, amen. Each and every one of us sitting here today, under the sound of my voice, is going to reach a time in their life, amen, that they're going to pass from this life to the next, amen. The Bible tells us, and I want us to be very clear, God tells us it's not His wish that any should perish, amen. If we look back, and Brother Dwayne and I was talking about this, and Brother Dwight talking about the time in the Bible, amen. If we see in the beginning of Genesis, amen, the people, the men that is described there, lived to be almost 1,000 years, amen. Methuselah lived to be 969 years, the oldest person to be recorded in the world, amen. That's a long time. Anybody here want to live to be almost 1,000 years old? I just turned 40. I couldn't imagine living to be almost 1,000 years old, how your body'd feel, Brother Dwayne. Could you imagine that? I'm sure God would be with us to take care of us, amen. But we see in God's Word that people in the beginning, amen, when people were here on this earth, that they lived to be a long time, amen. But there's one thing that happened to them that we all have in common. They died. We're going to live so long on this world, and then we're going to pass from this life to the next, amen. And it's not a season that we know, amen. You and I do not know how long we've got on this world, amen, or on this earth. I always thought I would never see 40 years old. Well, this past Thursday, I seem 40 years old, amen. I've accomplished something in my life that I thought I would never be able to see, amen. So, well, preacher, why would you say that? Because of the things that I'd done in my life, I knew God was going to take me out of this world before I was 40 years old. And I say that as the God's honest truth this morning, amen. And I told God, as I told this Wednesday night, the next 40 years I'm going to do a lot different, amen. I'm going to do things and live for God that way I wouldn't have the regrets that I've had in the last 40 years, in the next 40 years, amen. Now, I may not see 80 years old, but amen, I'm going to live just like I was Methuselah, amen. I'm going to live like I got 1,000 years on this world, amen. And I'm going to live it for God, amen. We see here in this story there's two people. It does not matter their social life, amen. It did not matter if they was rich or if they was poor. But the two came to the same place in their life. They both died. They both died. Not all rich people are going to live forever. And not all poor people are going to live a short life, amen. You and I, we don't know the season that God's going to give us on this earth. We don't know how long we've got on this earth. But one thing I do know, we can either choose to live for God or we can either choose not to live for God. But we see here in this story that the Bible says there was a rich man and he died. And there was a poor man, a beggar named Lazarus, and he died. And it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In verse number 23 is where I want to preach from this morning. And the Bible says this, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. As God is my help this morning, I want to preach a message titled this, Pardon Me or Excuse Me While I Go to Hell. Excuse me while I go to hell. We see in this story here that this rich man, he didn't care anything about God, amen. If he had a godly heart, amen, that beggar that was on the ground begging for the crumbs that was on his table, he would have fed him, amen. I know for a fact he didn't care anything about God because there was somebody right there that needed help, amen, and he didn't help him. And all I can think about is that rich man saying, excuse me while I go to hell. pardon me, let me get through the crowd while I go to hell, amen. You see, it's not what we, it's not how we live our life, amen, in this life that determines whether or not we're going to go to heaven. But what we do in this life, that does determine whether or not we're going to go to heaven, amen. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to go to heaven. You've got to accept Jesus Christ, amen, as your Savior to go to heaven. I don't care how you live your social life. I don't care anything about your life, amen. But I tell you what I do care about your life is the decision that you make to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or not, amen. Everyone will one day reach this moment in time where we will pass away from this earth. We will at one time or another in our life, at one time, not several times, amen. God's going to give us one chance to live this life that we're in. Amen. I hope that you don't go through this life saying, pardon me, or excuse me while I go to hell. Verse number 23, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. I want to point something out right here. This rich man that died and went to hell, he knew for a fact that he was doomed for eternity, amen. He knew that there was no way in the world that he was going to get to come out of this place because he said, send Lazarus to me, amen. He knew that it was eternal, amen. He knew that it was the final destination in his life. The final journey that he took, he said, send Lazarus unto me. He knew there was no going back. He knew that he could not get out of this situation, amen. And I begin to think about death. I begin to think about all the people that's passed on before me in my life that I've known. And I've told this story before. My best friend in high school, 20 years old, wrapped a motorcycle around a tree and died instantly and was not saved. And I couldn't help but to think the moment that he hit that tree, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. God gives us one opportunity to live our lives. Amen. He gives us one opportunity to live our lives. And he also gives us one opportunity to die. Amen. He also gives us one opportunity to see death. And how we see that death and how we live our life determines our future. Have you ever been walking through a store and tell somebody, excuse me, as you're trying to get through the crowd? Well, let me ask this. Has anybody ever been on a Black Friday Christmas shopping? Amen. It's okay. Y'all can raise your hands. Brother Scott, you've never been? Brother, you don't want to go because I've been. Okay. This coming Black Friday, we might get together and do something. Amen. I tell you what, I'm being serious. You go through there, and I'm always polite. I always try to be polite to people, amen, because I don't want to treat anybody any different than I treat you. I want to treat people how I want to be treated, amen. And you go through those crowds at Christmas time trying to shop and say, excuse me. And I'm being real when I say this. It sounds like this. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I mean, that's how crowded it is, amen. But can you imagine trying to get through that crowd and being mean and just busting through there and not saying, excuse me? That'd be pretty rude, wouldn't it? But I tell you what, when we go through this earth, when we go through this world, God gives us the opportunity to live. Amen. Some he gives more comfortable than others, amen. And some he gives may go through harder times than others. But I begin to think about this beggar. Why did he, if he lived for God, why did God didn't just straighten out his life? Well, see, he was a witness unto that rich man. He was a witness unto him. Well, see, with this beggar, it wasn't about what he had. If we go back in this scripture here in verse number 19, what does it say? It says, and there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously or luxuriously every day. With this beggar, it wasn't about what he had. It wasn't about the clothes that he wore. It wasn't about eating the finest meals at the greatest table, amen. It wasn't about the things of this world. I tell you what, if we read this song, because I'm not going to sing it, amen. It says, Every hope that I have, there is an old sinful world, is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I tell you what, I can't help but to think about this beggar's life. Amen. Everything that he had was anchored in the blood of the Lamb. He didn't need the luxurious things of this world. Amen. All he needed was the blood of the Lamb. And he said, though the billows are raging and we're tossed to and fro, there is peace beneath that flow. Amen. I mean, we can see just in a simple story in this beggar's life, amen, that he may not have had it made here on this earth, but he had a better home waiting on him. Amen. I tell you what, he may not have lived that luxurious life as the rich man lived. As we see it, as people see in this world, it's all about how much money you got. It's all about the material things that you got. It's all about how well you live. But I tell you what, cancer is roaming this world more and more vicious every day. There's things in this world that's taking people out at the drop of a hat. Amen. And I tell you what, God only gives us one life to live. We can either live it for Him or we can live for ourselves. This rich man here, he lived for himself. He wanted to do for himself. He lived for himself. He ate the finest foods, and he had the best clothes, amen. I tell you what, it was a king that arrayed themselves in the purple attire, amen. As this story says, that he was clothed in purple. He had it all. But one thing he didn't have in his life was a Savior. He didn't have a Savior. He didn't accept a Savior in his life. I got to thinking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, anybody can make a Lord out of anything. Anybody can make a Lord or a King out of everything. But you can only make a Savior out of one thing, and that is the Savior of this world. He can be a Lord to everybody. Hey, I've seen preachers on this earth, read articles and stories, that have had people to follow them. They've been a king. They've been a lord to these people here on this earth. But the only lord or king that has ever touched this earth is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Anybody can be a lord and anybody can be a king, but there is only one Savior on this earth. The Bible tells us death is going to come to all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 21, the Bible says, For sin by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says this, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We need to understand the life that we're living right now. God has given us one opportunity to live, and He's given us one opportunity to die, amen. And but after that, amen, we're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before the righteous judge, and we're going to be judged of the things that we've done. As the Bible says, whether good or bad upon this earth, He's given us one opportunity. He's given us one opportunity. I don't know about you today, but I want to live for Him. Amen. Well, I've got the opportunity to do. It doesn't matter what I've got. God's given me the ability to serve Him. It didn't matter what the beggar had. God gave him the ability to serve Him. The Bible never tells us the hatred that he could have had in his heart for this rich man because he didn't feed him. He never tells us the things that he could have said to this rich man because he didn't clothe him. Because he didn't take care of his sores. But the Bible simply says that in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes in torment. Excuse me while I go to hell. The rich man knew that he could not leave that old awful place. He knew that there was nothing taking it back. Death is not something that we take back. And life is not something that you can do over. Amen. Life is not something that you can do over. But God does give us a second chance to live for Him. He does give us a second chance. In the book of 1 John, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you today, but I need that second chance sometimes, amen. I need that second chance to ask God to forgive me and cleanse me of that unrighteousness so I can start living for Him again, amen. I tell you what, amen, you look at that train that goes down that track. Once it gets derailed, it takes a lot to get it back on track, amen. But once it gets back on track, it's smooth sailing, amen. That's kind of the way our life is sometimes. We can get derailed and get off track sometimes. But with a little work and a little help, we can get right back on track and start living for God. And that's what God wants. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to do for Him. It doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have. He wants us to live for Him. And no matter what we believe on this earth, amen, one thing is for certain, we better get this right, amen. We better get it right because there's nothing not going back, and amen, after we're dead and able to do this over again. It doesn't matter what we believe. You can't change anything after that moment in time in life. And if you're not a born-again child of God, you might as well be walking around with a sign that says, excuse me while I go to hell. Excuse me while I go to hell. Pardon me while I go to hell. I don't mean to sound mean and to sound like I'm hating everybody in this world, because I'm not. Because I wanna see people give their heart to God. And God is a God of second chances. And Jesus Christ is the love that shed His blood for you and for I to have that second chance. Romans chapter number 5 verse 8, the Bible says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. It does not matter what you've done in your past. There's a God in heaven that will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen. It does not matter. It does not matter what you've done. I've seen the vilest of sinners. I've heard stories of those that walked in the back door, sat on a back pew with a pistol in their pocket, going to come up here and shoot the pastor for whatever reason. And before the service was over, be in the altar and give their heart to God. It does not matter what you've done in your life. It does not matter how much drugs you've done. It does not matter where you've come from. Amen. What does matter that your heart is for Him and that you've gave your heart to Him. He is a God of second chances. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is through Him. It is by Him. And that precious blood, that is the hope, amen. In verse number 2, chorus number 2, it says, only one thing will matter when the time shall come to die. The treasures of this world won't mean a thing. Just the joy of knowing Jesus will banish all my fears, for He took away death's sting. My hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There is no other fountain so sweet. No fountain so sweet at all. He has banished away my sin, gave me peace and joy within. My hope is anchored in the blood. You can't get much more real than that. Amen. I'm going to ask Miss Connie if she'd come to the piano. It's by the precious blood of God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that makes this all possible. We might as well be saying, without His blood covering our sins, excuse me while I go to hell. I'm going to ask each and every one of us to stand that's able. As she plays, every head bowed and every eye closed. There's a God in heaven that was sitting on the throne watching over this world. And He said there needs to be a Savior. And His Son, Jesus Christ, said, Father, I'll go. Father, I'll go. I'll go and be the last sacrifice that world ever needs. And as He came, He said this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I thank God this morning that I can call Him my friend. He's my friend today, amen. I tell you what, if you can't say that He's your friend, amen. If it was me, I'd come up here to this old-fashioned altar and I'd ask Him to be my friend. I'd ask Him to be my Savior. And come into my heart and live forever. 1 John also says this. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were sinful and undesirable, when we were awful people with sin in our hearts. I don't know about you today. If there's somebody here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, He's saying today, come. Come. Come to Him, and He'll rescue you from the awful things of this world. How about you today? Would you come? Would you come? When we were unlovable, when we had still had wicked hearts, He came and died on that cross for us and shed that precious blood. How about you today? Would you come? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, would you come? The Bible tells us it's not His wish that any should perish. But we know without a shadow of a doubt that each and every one of us are going to die. Each and every one of us. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. How would you like to be laying there on your deathbed, waiting for the sting of death to come, and not knowing in your heart if you've ever been saved or not? Well, I'm going to tell you here today that you can know. You can know. All you have to do is fall down in this altar and ask Him to save you. How about you today? Would you come? Would you come? Don't walk through this world with that sign across your chest, excuse me while I go to hell. How about you today? Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, God, we just thank You so very much for Your Word and how powerful it is, Father, Lord. Lord, I just pray, God, again, if there's one here today that's never accepted You as your personal Savior, Lord, I pray that You continue to convict their hearts and show them how simple and easy it is, Lord, just to give it all to You. And Lord, we just pray, God, that You'd rebuke Satan and his demons from that one that's closest to hell today. God, just help them, Father, Lord, to see how much they need You and how much You love them and want them to be Your child. Lord, I just pray, God, that for Your moving of the Holy Spirit always in this church and each and every heart and each and every home, Father. Lord, we just ask You to go with us today. Watch over us, lead, guide, and direct us. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we do so humbly pray. Amen. Amen. Anything on anybody's heart? Do remember, next Sunday is Youth Sunday. Amen. Those that may not be here, we need to text them, tweet them, Instagram them, Facebook them, whatever we have to tell them not to forget it's Youth Sunday next Sunday. Amen. To all of our young people here, all hearts free. Appreciate you and love each and every one of you, and just thank God that you are here today. Amen. Never know, Houston might have a surprise for some of us older people next week. Never know. It's Youth Sunday. Anybody under the age of 969 is a youth, right? Amen. All hearts free. Appreciate, love each and every one of you. I'm going to ask Brother Dwight if he would dismiss us in a word of prayer.